This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. It's 6 a.m. on Wednesday, the 23rd of February. I'm Shazana Mokhtar in studio today with Wong Xiaoning.
Good morning, and it seems like such a normal day because today is just 23/02/2022. After all that noise about 22/02/22. I was like, it's a 2-2 day. I'm like, I was like, okay, guys.
Yesterday was Tuesday. And it's not going to come around again for another 100 years or so. I mean, my math is not right, but, you know, we very rarely see these kinds of numbers. So, yes, I hope you enjoyed yesterday, 22nd of February. Today is just the 23rd. There's that 3 in the middle there that's just, you know,
makes it a normal day.
It makes it a normal day. But despite being a normal day, we'll have some extraordinary conversations, I hope, today. Here's a sneak preview of what we're discussing at 7:30. We're going to talk about carbon tax because Singapore announced in its latest budget that it's increasing its carbon tax rate fivefold. So we're going to be speaking to economist Howie Lee of OCBC Bank to explain how a carbon tax system works and what the implications will be for business.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting because Malaysia also plans to impose their own carbon tax, and I've always wondered how does any country come up with the formula, right? It cannot be an easy one. But at 7:45, we're going to have a discussion on the fresh graduates and their wages. Why has it been so bad? So we discussed the economics of labour pricing with Zohar Rosli of DM Analytics.
This is something that comes up every so often. A lot of people say that, yeah, the wages of graduates today are the same as what they were 20 years ago.
Or even lower.
So we're going to be talking about that. And then later on a related note, at 8:30, we're going to be discussing issues of labour and talent retention with Thomas Matthews of Talent Corp on The Breakfast Grill. Philip C. will be speaking to that guest. You'll want to stay tuned for that conversation. All this and more on The Morning Run today, Wednesday, the 23rd of February. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. That was The XX with Crystallized. Before that, you heard Heart by Dreamboat Annie. You heard Dreamboat Annie by Heart. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar. Together with Wong Xiaoning, it's Wednesday, the 23rd of February. Now, speaking of crystallizing things
in your mind,
we are talking about memory this morning. So I'm talking about this because there's been some recent studies on scientific reviews on memory and why we tend to lose it in our older age. So it's accepted reality that the older we get, our memory becomes less sharp. So previously, scientists believed that this was because as we grow older, the memories we create are less detailed. Mm-hmm. There's less information. You know, they call this impoverished memory.
Okay.
But they have done reviews of the studies and all of the data, and some scientists are interpreting it differently. It's not that we're creating lower quality memories, but it's actually that as we grow older, there's just too much information, and what's missing or what's lacking is the selecting process in our brains. So as we grow older, we maybe grow a little bit less efficient in selecting the relevant information that's needed to recall data.
Okay, so in other words, it's cluttered. Right?
Our
brain becomes cluttered with too much stuff.
That's
it. And the older you have, of course, the more stuff you have normally. It's more memories, right? So this NBC, I believe, NBC article, I read it and I thought, it does kind of make sense because they cite an example of like people who leave keys or phones. I'm the one, the guilty one, right? Dreads, forgot the phone. Alamak, forgot the keys. Where's this? Where's that? Right? It's because every day I do the same thing. Every day I leave the house, I take my phone, I take my keys, I leave it here, I leave it there. And you're right, maybe it's confusing my brain as to which day did I do that
right.
thing. Did I leave that phone here or did I leave the phone there? And I thought about it and I'm like, okay, if that's the case that my brain is cluttered, do I do a Marie Kondo and just get rid of the memories and, like, you know, only keep those that spark joy? Is that how it works? It doesn't really work that way, right?
I'm not sure it works that way. And that reminds me of the film Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Where you try to zap all the bad stuff
exactly.
out, right?
Exactly. I mean, unfortunately or fortunately, we don't have that in real life. But yes, I suppose there isn't really an easy solution to that. So we understand that our brains are cluttered. It's supposed to really help us think about aging and memory in a different way. So it's not so much that, because I think a lot of the times the lack of memory is seen as something, it's not a great thing. But
it can be very frustrating.
It can be very detrimental, absolutely. Yeah. But the idea is that we can look at it in a different way. so that it becomes less frustrating, I suppose, and less, and you know, so that we adapt better in some ways, if that
okay.
makes sense.
So there is a generational gap between you and I, right, Shaz?
Not that much of a... Okay, sure, fine. You're Gen X, I'm millennial. Sure.
Yeah, yeah, that's like a decade. Okay, so I feel it probably more than you in terms of my memory being cluttered. And I think what I have realized is that there's a few things that help along the way. One of which is your mental health is still very much related to your physical health. So I think if you keep physically fit... you know, you don't just sit there, watch TV 24/7. You do some exercise. It probably does help. Physical health does help.
I have science to back that up, actually. A recent survey, and this is another article in Psychology Today, they say that in order to strengthen episodic memory, which is your memory of things in the past, you should do aerobic exercise. And this applies for healthy adults aged 55 to 68.
Okay, I haven't gotten there yet.
But that's the point is,
yes,
you start early.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're building up that, you know, reserve, or you're building up that capacity.
Well, you don't ever allow your, as much as possible, your physical state to deteriorate. So much that, you know, come 55, you can't even do a little bit of aerobic exercise. It's like a constant thing, right? Every day. The other tip that I have for myself is actually, it sounds really, really mundane and it's a 101, but if it's important enough, write it down, right? To do the things that you need to do, the important things, whether it's a piece of paper on your phone, whatever, whichever is your preference, that helps a little bit. So I've created this WhatsApp to myself. It's called the to-do list. And I WhatsApp myself all these things that I need to do or all these articles that I want to read. And every day I just go back to the to-do list on my phone and have a quick glance so that in a way I don't feel pressured to think, oh, have I done this? Have I done this? Because that list just reminds me what is really, really important in my life. So that's how I manage it, or I have been managing it. So that's how I keep a track on all of you guys. Ha ha. One more tip is I think I still try and play some form of memory games.
Aha.
Mm. So, okay, with my parents, I don't have much time, but, you know, we play card games.
Uh-huh.
Or like my parents, I notice if there's enough of us, they play mahjong.
Mm.
So I think all these little things help to keep your brain running. It's like a tool, right? If you don't use it, it gets rusty. So you keep on having to use it and it gets better and better over time.
That's right. There are all these little tips and tricks. I totally agree with the taking noting things down as they happen, whether it's something that you want to remember to do in the future, or maybe it's a feeling, a nice feeling that you had, or something good that you want to remember moving forward. When you write something down, your memory tends to sharpen, which is why sometimes many years into the future, you remember a distinct day that you might have written in your journal once upon a time. And reading that entry just brings you back to that day and all the good things you experienced. But, you know, tell us what you think. What do you do to keep your memory sharp? Do you have any tips or tricks that you use to make sure you remember things to do or things that you've seen? You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We're taking a quick break at the moment, and when we come back, we're going to delve into consumer psychology and ask what really drives consumer choices. BFM 89.9. The Red Hot Chili Peppers with My Friends. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana with Xiao Ning. You know who aren't your friends? Major corporations.
No.
They're not your friends. But
wow, what a cynic this morning, Shazana.
Well, it stems from this article in The Vox that highlights a paradox of sorts, yeah? So we're seeing inflation reach record highs, and there's a lot of anxiety over the impact of rising prices. This will affect both producers and consumers as cost increases. But that said, in the recent round of corporate earnings, companies have been posting huge profits. And because of inflation, many have been given guidance that they're going to raise prices on their products even more. And all this is to say that some economists and politicians accuse corporations of using inflation as an excuse to jack up prices beyond what's necessary to account for their increased costs. So do you think price rises are the result of this corporate concentration. In other words, corporations just being really greedy.
Do I want to be the baddie or do I want to be the goodie? Huh? Do I want to be loved or hated? Okay, let me think. Which side of the fence do I want to sit on?
I don't think there's a binary choice here, you know.
Come on, red pill or blue pill? Okay, I'll take the red pill, whichever that pill is. But okay, some context. Inflation for the US was 7.5%, right, in January, a four-decade high. That's the reality. So whether you want to be a cynic about it, it is what it is. And in US, it's so high partially because fuel is not subsidized at all. And as we know, gas prices have gone up even just this last 2 months. So on a year-to-date basis, Brent crude is up 25%. That gives you an indication why inflation is 7.5% in the US. Added to that, we've had the great resignation. Wages have had to go up. With it, even palm oil this morning, up close to 22%. Okay, so all edible oils have gone up. So 7.5, not surprising. Now, do corporates have really the ability to absorb these price increases? I guess it depends on the type of company. And do they then, should they then raise prices is another question, right? So as a corporate, you're responsible to your shareholders for sure. The mantra is maximize profit. But I think in this 2022, that mantra has changed slightly to stakeholders. And stakeholders here means shareholders, it means your employees, and it means the general public as well. So I think you can raise prices, but it cannot be to the point where I think you're unfair to all these stakeholders, not just your shareholders. Because your shareholders will tell you, yes, raise prices, please. But it comes to some point self-defeating because that's economics, right? If you raise it too high, consumers won't buy. And consumers won't buy, your revenue will come down. That's the theory of markets though.
I take your point there, the fact that there are so many different interests. And it's a good thing that corporations now are beginning to realize the importance of taking care of all those interests. Because as you said, when companies raise prices, that tends to excite shareholders. You know, the markets are going crazy over the fact that all these consumer companies are raising prices. They think that means more profits for them. But the point is, with these greater profits, what are you doing with it? Where does the value go to? Does it go directly just to the company and shareholders? Do you also share it with your employees? Do you also share it with consumers in some way or in terms of how you benefit society, for example? So there are a lot of different ways to look at how you want to give back that profit. But the fact remains is that these issues are coming up because of how I suppose the anxiety around the economy right now and whether consumers themselves and households can live with these increase in prices. I think there is a pushback to that because everyone is feeling the pinch in one way or another.
Yeah. So let's bring this conversation back home. Officially, inflation, if I'm not wrong, the Ministry of Finance forecast something like 2.5%. But I will be honest, I'm sure if you did a little bit of a channel check and asked everyone to WhatsApp in, which you can, 018-789-8899, or you can tweet us at BFM Radio, do you really believe inflation is 2.5%? Come on, I'm sure your shopping basket...
It definitely feels a lot more than that.
A lot more than that, right? The total cost has gone up so much. So the point is, okay, is this going to be permanent or is it just temporary? So I think companies so far, you know, we've had lots of conversations with them on our breakfast grill. And a lot of them in Malaysia say that they're a bit more reluctant to raise prices because it's also subject to how the economy is, right? If we don't feel as great as we do, then we will change our behavior. We might buy less or we might downtrend. So I think companies are a little bit circumspect about this. But what I worry about is companies who are in a monopolistic situation, right, where they are the only dominant player and they can afford to raise prices. Then what happens? Who protects the consumer? That's my question.
Right.
So if there's enough competition, prices will reach some form of equilibrium. That's economic theory, right? So if I, let's say, manufacture this gadget and I make an exceptional profit, other people are going to notice this and want to manufacture it as well. So increasing supply and eventually prices will form some sort of equilibrium. But the ride to there is where consumers pay. Because in the meantime, yeah, unfortunately, things are going to be a little bit more expensive. And we do know corporates, whatever said and done, a little bit more greedy, right? That's their nature.
Well, on that note, it's 6:24 in the morning. Tell us what you think. Do you think that price rises are due to corporate consolidation? And what would drive you to change your purchasing habits? Would it just be price, or do you look at other factors as well? You can WhatsApp us 01-8789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We're heading into the 6:30 a.m. news bulletin. And when we come back, we'll take a look at global headlines from around the world. Taking you to the news is Toto with Rosanna, BFM 89.9. That was the Eagles. Already gone. They may be gone, but we're still here. Shazana and Xiaoning, the morning run, 6:40 in the morning on Wednesday, the 23rd of February. It's that time of day when we take a look at what's making headlines around the world. I think there's only one issue on everyone's mind at the moment, Xiaoning, and that is Ukraine.
Yeah, for sure. And I think this song, Already Gone by the Eagles, unfortunately can't be sung by them because the Russian troops are still there. In fact, they seem to be more menacing than ever. Yesterday, Biden, actually, U.S. President Joe Biden, imposed a wave of sanctions on Russia for the Ukraine invasion. I'm looking at the Financial Times. And so the president is targeting elites, some banks, and sovereign debt, and says more measures will follow if Putin advances. Now, whether this will really make a difference, I question that, because Russia has had sanctions imposed on them. The sanctions only work to some level. I think if it affected oil revenue, that would be another thing, but the reality is Europe is rather dependent on Russia for gas.
That is right. We spoke to Associate Professor Alexei Muraviev yesterday of Curtin University, and he's of the view that sanctions will have a minimal impact because Russia is mentally prepared for sanctions. They already are under sanctions, so it just seems that sanctions may not phase them. That said, when you mention oil and gas, Xiaoning, the fact is Germany has halted its work on the Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline with Russia, so that could have an effect, or maybe not, because Russia seems to go, yeah, sure, whatever. It's the Europeans who are going to have to pay more for gas.
It's like right? The moment. But, you know, I think something that we hardly ever highlight on our show is the Russian stock market. Yes, they do have one. And on a year-to-date basis, when I look at the Russian indices, they're all down 20%. So, you know, even from their perspective, they're not looking forward to this war. Nobody is. And I'm sure the Russian economy isn't doing amazingly well, despite all revenue up. So their stock market on a year-to-date basis down 23%. And this is in terms of US dollar. If you look at just currency, their own currency is down 20%. So even the ruble has come under pressure in the last few days.
Right.
So war isn't good for anyone.
Not at all. And these sanctions that the Western countries are looking to impose, it could also be aimed at, or it would also be aimed at Russian sovereign debt, which means Russia will have difficulty sourcing for Western financing. Whether they can get enough money from other allies, perhaps. They've been very chummy with China, for example. So whether they're banking on those ties to tide them through this, it's something that remains to be seen. And if we look at how the economy at large is reacting, if we look at oil, it's reaching its closest level to $100 per barrel to date, I think. It's about $96.
Yeah, very, very close. I think, you know, a month ago, you had analysts saying $100 a barrel, US dollars per barrel, is likely. Now I see reports $125, $150. People are baking in, or trying to factor in a war in Ukraine and pricing that into oil prices. It's just really going to be very challenging for, you know, policymakers to manage inflation, which is already 7.5%. What does this mean for Fed rate hikes? Tough times ahead, guys, for markets. Very volatile.
Like you said, this isn't good news for anybody in the world right now, and not least the people of Ukraine as well, who are facing, who don't know what's going to happen on their doorstep, essentially. Russia has launched troops, or although they call that peacekeeping troops with inverted commas. They've sent troops into Ukraine, the Donbas region. However, Western countries don't seem to see that as an invasion just yet. What will actually amount to military invasion from their eyes, and whether they'll take corresponding action, I mean, I think that's something everyone's on tenterhooks about.
Yeah. But I want to switch our attention to UK, because they're posting their first ever budget surplus since the pandemic began. So Rishi Sunak, who's the Exchequer Chancellor, he is on course for an almost £18 billion budget windfall. And that is from $2.9 billion more in taxes. They raised that. I think they are raising VAT. Well, they've actually, to be fair, spent quite a fair bit, and the deficit was quite a high amount to get businesses on their feet. But I think this is in line with their move towards living with it like an endemic rather than a pandemic, right, for COVID-19.
Interesting indeed. So that the fact that they've reported a budget, or that they will report a budget surplus, I'm not sure. The UK budget is due to come out in March, I believe. So there's a lot of talk now as the government aims to prepare it and draft those details.
Yeah, because their debt interest costs alone, just for the months between April and January, that's last year, is 57.8 billion. That's 25.7 billion higher, 80% higher than a year ago, which is... puts them in a really tough position. So I think they really need to look at their spending.
All
right. So it's a bit of good news. They are under pressure to have a surplus and raise taxes as a result.
Okay, well, we're going to be watching that when it comes out. It's 6:46 in the morning. We're taking a quick break. And when we come back, we'll look at what's making headlines in our local newspapers and portals. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. The Wonder Stuff with Don't Let Me Down. Gently, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana and Xiaoning. We won't let you down. We will be on air from 6 to 10 a.m. every weekday, 89.9. It's that time of the morning where we take a look at what's making headlines in our front pages of the newspapers and portals. What do you have in front of you, Xiaoning?
Well, I have the Star, page 6. The headline is Running Short of Test Kits. Panic buying and delay in supply, the cause save pharmacies. At the same time, our Ministry of Trade and Consumer Affairs says that there's adequate supply of COVID-19 self-test kits in the market. On the other hand, pharmacy chains and stores also say that the self-test kit stocks are only expected to return to normal in a few weeks. But we did our little bit of shopping, didn't we, Shaz?
We did. There are a whole range of pharmacies opposite our office here at TTDI. And going into a number of them, yes, it's true that the test kits, they have run out of test kits, I think, because there is a very high demand for them. Mm. As people go out and about, I think testing has become part of a normal routine at the workplace and also in our social life.
Yeah, but it's not all have run out. You can still find them, maybe not the brand you want, at the price point you want. So the cheaper ones aren't available. Those that are usually below $5, those are pretty much sold out. The more expensive ones are still available. But I think stocks should normalize. And I like to remind everybody, hoarding is no good for anyone.
No.
Remember in the early days of March 2020 when you didn't have toilet paper, you don't want to go back to that same situation. The other thing that apparently is in short supply is one brand of paracetamol. It's available. If you're not fussy, you can still find it. So I think everybody don't panic. That's the message.
If we look at the front page of the New Straits Times, the headline that reads, Not All Mild. So it's just a reminder by the government that and also the Malaysian Medical Association that COVID-19, we can't take it for granted that Omicron is a mild variant. That's not the case for everyone for sure. And it's a reminder that we really should not be complacent with our SOPs. We should still maintain physical distancing where we can, or maintain physical distancing, not where we can. Let's maintain it. Let's keep that in mind.
Okay. Related to SOPs is our former Prime Minister, Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin. He's the National Recovery Council Chairman, right? He says that the Health Ministry is currently preparing and finalising the SOPs before announcing the guidelines. This is with regards to the border reopening, which we are still, we don't know what date, although Khairi Jamaluddin, who is the health minister, has said sometime in the second quarter. So we'll be watching this space very closely. I think the fact is that COVID-19 cases on the back of this Omicron wave are still quite high, right? Five digits, 25,000 and above. So how are they going to manage all this? And also, of course, it really depends on our healthcare system in terms of the usage of hospital beds and ICU and ventilators.
Right. That's something that we're going to be keeping an eye on. Turning our attention to some other headlines. I have a couple of headlines here related to the police force. So first up, the Enforcement Agency Integrity Commission, or EAIC, says that it has found no evidence of a cartel among police ranks. And if you recall, this was what was alleged by former Inspector General of Police Tan Sri Abdulhamid Badur last March. When he retired, he mentioned that there was a cartel in the police force that whose ambition was to dominate the force for their own personal interests. So apparently the EAIC has taken the past year to conduct investigations. That's a long time. And they've said now that there is no evidence for this claim.
So no, and that's the end of the matter.
I do not know. It would help if they were to release a report, keep it transparent in terms of how they conducted the investigation, who they spoke to, what their findings were. I think that would greatly help because at the moment, all we have is their word at this. On another note, recall that yesterday we spoke to the Member of Parliament for Batukawan, Kasturi Pato, on the issue of custodial deaths. And today there's a headline from Bernama that says that the Bukit Aman Integrity and Standards Compliance Department, or GIPS, they have introduced some new measures to curb custodial deaths. And this include inspections and lockup visits by the district police chief or police station chief, as well as physical examination of detainees' health status. So they are going to be conducting that moving forward, which I suppose is a good thing to take note of.
Yes, it is. Meanwhile, in the Malaysian Reserve, page 6, I'm looking at this headline. HR Minister urges more companies to pay higher minimum wage. Now, I think the matter is still with Cabinet as to what is the amount that they're going to implement, whether it's 1,500. I think that's been much speculated. Timeline yet still unknown. But the HR minister says companies should just go about and do it if they can afford it already. I think the first one, of course, was Aeon and Westports.
That's right.
They have voluntarily done so. And it's necessary, especially if you're a company and you can show exceptional profit. You don't even need to show exceptional profit. You just need to show decent profit and it should be done, right?
That's right.
You shouldn't be the ones hoarding all the money. But this is also a point that we would like to talk about later on with Zohair Mohamad Rosli. He's a senior researcher at DM Analytics. And we're looking at the relationship between fresh graduate salary and minimum wage, how they actually are somewhat correlated.
Stay tuned for that conversation there a little after 7:45. But in the meantime, though, it is 6:55 in the morning. We are heading into the 7 a.m. news bulletin. And then after that, we'll take a look at the global markets and how they closed yesterday. Taking you to the news is Arcade Fire with Ready to Start, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.